You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network, our final preview show on this week of Locked On Vikings, episode 356. I'm Sam Ekstrom, he's Sage Rosenfels. We're back with you for one final tune-up. Sage, do you think that everybody's bringing a little extra preparation this week? Yeah, obviously, you're bringing a little extra to the game, probably a little extra energy. Do you think people stay up later? Do they watch more film? Do they do more mental reps in their head while they're eating dinner? How does something like that work?
Well, I think that this type of week, it's probably just hard to get off your mind and go, you know, home. So I don't know if guys are getting extra work, you know, I think maybe a little bit more, a little bit extra film work, but for the most part, you know, a lot of football players are, you know, very into routine, and the Vikings have won 14 games this year, so my guess is the majority of the football team is going to do what they've done all year, just stay consistent with what you do. I know from personal experiences, the games where I, you know, try to watch extra film because I really felt, unnerved by maybe all the blitzes, like a Baltimore Ravens defense or some of these more confusing teams, that's when I felt like I played my worst football because I was overthinking everything. So you put your work in during the week, the horses are in the barn, and then you do your work, and it's time to go play this football game in a couple of days. So I think most of the guys are going to stay with their routine and try to probably relax and just mentally get ready for this game.
And they play the game about 55 hours from now. As someone who follows the Vikings, Sage, would you say you feel more or less anxiety about this upcoming game than you did the divisional round? Because I went into the divisional game, even before I knew they were going to play the Saints, I felt like that was the greatest test. You're either probably going to play LA or New Orleans. I thought both of those teams were great. And maybe it's because of the way the game ended last Sunday. Maybe there's sort of just an emotional release there where you just can't get too worked up again for a while. But I don't feel a whole lot of anxiety on behalf of the Vikings fans.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, I try to, like, lower my expectations a little bit. And, you know, if they lose this game, you go, well, it was a great season. They did all they could do. Obviously much better than expected. Nobody expected once. Even with Sam Bradford, no one expected them to be in the NFC Championship game, much less without Bradford and then Case Keenum and then also without Dalvin Cook. So I think nobody expected this. So I sort of look at, you know, every game that we get to watch is basically gravy at this point. So I think this game is a coin flip. I think the Vikings have a 50-50 shot just as much as the Eagles do of winning this football game. It's just probably going to come down to a few plays. It should be a really fun game to watch. I'm sure it'll be a lot of nervous Eagles and Vikings fans, two franchises who have had a lot of success in their long histories, but neither have won a Super Bowl.
Do you think there's any possibility this turns into a shootout? Everybody on earth is talking about how it's going to be 17-13, grind it out defensive affair. Is there any chance that one of the offensive coordinators says, let's get aggressive and try to turn this thing on its head? Do you see that happening in any way?
The only way I could see that happen is if, you know, sometimes when there's really bad weather, like when it's wet and muddy, for whatever reason, offenses sometimes score a lot of points in those situations. Either that or it's going to be 6-3, but it seems like sometimes because the defense, you know, can't stop their momentum and make cuts, and there's a lot of missed tackles and games like when it's bad weather, when it's supposed to be. It looks like it's about to be, you know, 45 or so and maybe some rain on Sunday. But, I don't see the Vikings scoring 40 points. I just don't. This Eagles defense is really good. The more I've watched them this week and sort of studied it, in particular their defensive line, this is the best defensive line the Vikings have faced all season. I always, you know, always think a defense is, it starts with the defensive line before the other players. And this is a very, very good interior and on the outside defensive line. So this Vikings offense, it's not going to be easy running the football, which is sort of where everything starts for them. If they can run the football, then get Case going with the bootleg game, the play action game, which where he excels, If they can't run the football and he's got to drop back a lot in the pocket, that might be a bad sign for the Vikings.
Yep, Timmy Jernigan and Fletcher Cox are marvelous on the interior of that line for the Eagles. But I think the real question is whether or not Rashad Hill, the young right tackle for the Vikings, can hold up. I thought he got exposed by Cameron Jordan a bit in the second half last week. Looks like they're probably going to stay with him. They're probably going to just trust him. And Mike Zimmer said yesterday, he's got to play like he did in the first half, not the second half. He's got to play like that for the whole game against the Eagles. So that's going to be a huge thing to watch with Hill going up against those defensive ends in Philadelphia. I mentioned the offensive game plan, which makes me think of Pat Shurmur, who is probably going to be the New York Giants coach. I don't think we've talked about this, Sage. What do you think of the fit with Shurmur and New York?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's interesting because I really just know Shurmur, you know, obviously from his Eagles time. And then, you know, I give anyone a pass who is a head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I almost immediately go, well, it wasn't your fault. They just seem to screw everything up there. So obviously he had a short stint as a head coach of the Browns. And then he's worked his way back up to, you know, possibly or probably be a head coach here coming up. So my concern is watching this Vikings offense this year, they've done a lot of things. They've changed a lot. You know, once Case took over for Sam Bradford, they chased to a run, play action, bootleg type of team. They do a lot of that stuff. You know, when they can, and, you know, I don't know, Eli Manning is just, I'm not sure how much Eli Manning has left, you know, in the tank. He's just not a very mobile athlete at all at this point. He never really was. But when he was at his best, he had great offensive lines. That people don't realize that offensive line from about 2006-07 all the way up to about 2011-12 was basically the same group of Sean O'Hara, Chris Snee, Richie Soybert, David Deal and Kareem McKenzie. Kevin Booth was sort of a guy off the bench that ended up starting a lot of games here and there, sort of the swing guy. They had a fantastic offensive line, and they that has been their biggest issue these last couple of years, and really, you know, this past year really exposed Eli for that, you know, not great athlete that he is. So that's my biggest concern. I'm not sure what he's walking into. There's a lot of issues on that team, it seems like, offensively, defensively, you know, a lot of personality issues on that team. It seems like that team really shut it down last year. It looks like they have a lack of leadership. So I think he's a good fit for the Vikings organization, or I'm sorry, for the Giants organization in the way he holds himself and the way he is. And you know, he knows that division very, very well. He's in the NFC East for a long, long time as an assistant coach. And so, you know, it's he's going to have his hands full, and hopefully the Giants are patient, because I don't think that's a, you know, 1 or 2 year turnaround type of situation.
Brief pause to remind you that with the NFL playoffs here, it's important to know that the number one rated online sports book is mybookie.ag. Your fantasy season's over, but you still want to win some cash. The only way is to use your sports knowledge to cash in at mybookie, the sports book that makes it easy to deposit and so easy to cash out your winnings quickly. They've got myriad odds on all the big games, live betting, an all-new prop builder so you can customize your own bet slips. Bet from your desktop, bet from your tablet, bet from their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anywhere, anytime, no hassle payouts when you win. If you join right now, MyBookie matches your deposit with up to a 50% deposit bonus. Promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, when making your account. Visit mybookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sports book, where you play, you win, and you get paid. Well, the interesting thing is that for as much as Pat Shurmur allegedly likes Sam Bradford, they were going to be this great pair, but if you look at the last five seasons of offenses coordinated by Pat Shurmur, the two worst have come with Sam Bradford, and maybe Pat Shurmur's greatest skill is coordinating an offense with a mobile quarterback. I mean, you look at what he did in 13 and 14 with Philadelphia. They won double-digit games. Then with Bradford in 2015, they fell off. Chip Kelly got fired. Pat Shurmur went with him. And then Bradford in 2016, obviously, didn't really get the job done with Shurmur as the OC. I think in Shurmur's games, they went like 3-6. So it's not as if Sam Bradford was the magic, you know, pill for Pat Shurmur at all. And if you go to Eli Manning, who knows what happens there. For me, too, it comes down to personality. You know, he had a stint in Cleveland. Mike Holmgren has gone on record as saying he needs to lighten up. He needs to be a little better at adapting to, which is funny because he's an adaptable play caller, but adapting to different personalities and being a little less rigid as a head coach. And I'm sure that you learn a lot the first time around. You learn from your failures and your shortcomings, and you probably get better. So maybe the second time around will be a better fit for Shurmur, because you'll have to have thick skin against that New York media for sure.
Yeah, I think these coaches that have a head coaching job, you know, whether it's Shurmur or, you know, Josh McDaniels, who very easily is going to have a job, it sounds like, somewhere, you think he would. I think they learn a lot from that head coaching first head coaching experience when they fail. And both of those guys failed in their first shot. And my guess is they're going to have, you know, basically from the day they get fired, you start thinking about what you could have done better. So my guess is that he will have a lot of things that he would like to improve on from his first head coaching stint, you know, with the Cleveland Browns. And so, you know, Shurmur is not an electrifying, you know, speaker. He doesn't have that sort of Mike Tomlin presence. I don't think you have to have that as a head coach, but you do have to sort of capture the hearts and minds of your football team. And you know, my guess is, obviously, all I look at is this offense. He's obviously captured the hearts and minds of this offense. They are, you know, very much all working together, and they play very well as a unit. You can just sort of tell that everyone's on the same page, and that's the job of the head coach, get everyone on the same page and motivated.
And I did a little digging yesterday, too, for a story I wrote. And, you know, there's been, I think, more upheaval on this offense than people even realize. In addition to a quarterback getting hurt and a running back getting hurt, you've had four of the five offensive linemen at different times getting hurt this season, and they've had eight different offensive line combinations since week five. That's as many as they had last year when things were so bad. So he's really kept things together amidst a lot of turmoil. Really has done a nice adaptive job this year with the Vikings. I mentioned that the offensive line, the right tackle spot, that's a matchup I'm going to watch this Sunday with Rashad Hill holding up. What's a matchup you're kind of looking forward to seeing on the field?
The matchup I'm looking for is obviously the, you know, Xavier Rhodes, and I think the man-to-man type stuff the Vikings defense will be doing. You know, Alshon Jeffrey is a really big target. I'm not sure, you know, probably since Julio Jones has the Vikings faced a guy who's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", is one of those vertical type guys who's tough in the red zone and tough to cover on, you know, those high back shoulder types of plays. And Rhodes is a really good player, but sometimes you just, if the ball is thrown in the right spot and the guy is 6'5" and can jump, there's nothing he can do about it. So I'm really going to be looking at those outside matchups. You know, this Eagles offense does a lot of these RPOs, these run pass options. A lot of times it's some sort of sweep or whatever, but on the backside they have a double slant combination. So you sort of saw that with the Drew Brees touchdown pass in that game. I think what was it, the second to last touchdown pass, when it looked like, you know, the slot guy was you know, Michael Thomas was wide open. While the Philadelphia Eagles do a lot of those types of plays, and where he could possibly hand it off, and then if inside linebacker or inside player, you know, leaves to chase the runner, it leaves a nice hole. So, you know, the Vikings are going to have to get their hands on these Philadelphia or wide receivers right on the line of scrimmage, take away that inside stuff, and hopefully force Nick Foles to hold the ball a couple of times and maybe make a mistake.
Here's a question for you to test your defensive back mind. The Vikings have a couple different mentalities amongst their cornerbacks. Xavier Rhodes likes to press. Trey Waynes likes to play off. When a team like the Eagles are throwing everything underneath, is it better to play off and then kind of dive toward the receiver, or do you want to press and kind of stay with them to prevent that soft underbelly there kind of underneath?
Yeah, I think that you want to, always have pressure in this type of situation. You know, when it's, say a Tom Brady or something, sometimes it might be better to play off and then keep your eye on the quarterback and the concepts that are being run. But, you know, in this situation, I think that was what, Atlanta, they play a lot of zone coverage. And so there are some easy completions to be had, out there. I think you want to be up in these receivers' faces, make Nick Foles throw the perfect ball, make receivers win in one-on-one coverage. And if I was the cornerbacks, I would be trying to take away a lot of that inside stuff. Now, it opens you up to sluggos and opens you up to fades on the outside. But I'll take my chances, with Nick Foles not being accurate in bad weather, in January in Philadelphia.
Forecast that I'm seeing right now, 51 and partly cloudy for a high. So that should be pretty comfortable, probably around 46, 47 at game time. Let's make our picks. Let's start with the Jaguars and the Patriots, the game that everybody is forgetting about here in Minneapolis. I think, again, Jaguars are getting overlooked, but can they pull another upset in New England?
Well, I saw it was an 80% chance that the Patriots are going to win this football game as of yesterday. Of course, this is before the news of Tom Brady, who did not practice yesterday, and I watched a lot of NFL Network and ESPN, and he wore two gloves at practice. One glove was on his right hand, and what was really interesting is he, during his stretches and stuff, he was not using his right hand at all. I mean, he was really just barely even moving it. So I'm very concerned about how he's going to be able to throw on how bad that injury is. I sort of feel like it might be worse than what the Patriots are telling everybody, and nobody really knows right now. So if he is healthy, I got the Patriots in this one. I'm going to go 31-13. But if he is not healthy, I got the Jaguars. If he's not healthy, doesn't play, I got the Jaguars in this one. Something like 17 to 10 in that ball game.
Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty thick plot. I need to require you to pick one for a confidence meter. No hedging bets.
Confidence meter. So I assume Brady's going to play. So let's go. 90% with the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to go with New England as well. I even have the instinct that even with Brian Hoyer, I feel like they will find a way defensively to completely stifle Blake Bortles. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not an intimidating defense any longer, and to give up 45 to Bortles is inexcusable. The Patriots won't do that, and I think that they can win this game regardless. And it's classic underrating of a team that doesn't have a lot of credibility. It's even though the Jaguars haven't succeeded in the past, it doesn't mean they won't succeed here, but I just can't pick against the Patriots in a big game like this at home. I go with New England 95. Let's say that New England does win. Will they play the Vikings on their home field in the Super Bowl? I will pick first for this one. I do agree that it's going to be low scoring. I agree that the running games will grind the clock down. Scoring will be at a premium. I think the Vikings get two touchdowns, one field goal. I think the Eagles get two field goals, one touchdown. Minnesota wins 17-13 with a big defensive stand at the end.
I got the Vikings with one touchdown and four field goals. So I believe that's 19 points. And I got 19-17. I think the Eagles are going to miss a field goal on the last play of the game.
Whoa.
So I'm going to go with 70% chance the Vikings win, and my score is 19-17.
Oof. I'm going to go 85% Vikings. I can't wait. It's going to be a great game. Where are you going to watch it at?
Probably my house. I think I might actually have some friends over here in Omaha. So a lot of Vikings fans in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm going to try to invite some of my kids' friends and their parents over for the game. Should be... it almost feels like a Super Bowl party. Feels like you want to be around your friends in one of these types of games.
Seth Sage Rosenfels on Twitter, at Sage Rosenfels 18. I'm Sam Ekstrom, at Sam Ekstrom. Enjoy the game, everybody. And Monday's show should be another emotional program on Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network.